Welcome to The Latest on the Law, a podcast of the Boston Bar Association. The Commonwealth's premier legal association, the BBA is home to over 15,000 members and 140 institutional partners consisting of law firms, corporations, government agencies, legal aid organizations, and law schools. Visit us at bostonbar.org to learn more.
Welcome to all of you. I really appreciate you joining us today for what is the first substantive program of our leadership skills session, growing your leadership skills for the well-being of your people and your business. In this particular program, we're talking about building connections. I'm thrilled to be joined by my colleagues, Dr. Sean Healy and Dr. Tracy Myers. They will be helping us with today's program, and we're going to jump right in. You may recall from the overview session, we were talking about what leadership is and what the leadership skills entail to sort of build followship, that without leadership, without followship, you actually don't have leadership. And one of the things that we talked about was the challenges to leadership, and that when folks feel as though their leaders are more managers, supervisors, directors, and not people who are engaged in their well-being and their connection, that followership falls off, the psychological safety drops out, and then there are challenges to moving forward for the overall good of the organization. So we're going to make connections, if you will, between that leadership program and those leadership responsibilities, and actually talk about some skills that you can use to build the connection with your people so that they understand that you do in fact care, but recognizing that each of us as leaders have various challenges with our own attention. We're drawn in many different directions. There may be things that sort of increase our own reactivity that make it a challenge for us to build those connections. So we're going to talk about a few topics in terms of developing a framework for leaders around how to get to know your people, colleagues, legal assistants, and staff, and how to show that you care. Understanding what it means to be a skilled listener and learning how to give attention to what is being said and what is not being said, how to read body language, how to understand verbal cues, how to be able to take a pause and recognize what's really going on so that you can have more meaningful and impactful and intentional communication with your colleagues and those who are working with you. So I've just given you a bit of an overview of today's topics and a bit of a rewind of the prior program. I believe there is a recording of that program. So if you'd like to listen to it or watch it and give it more attention, you can. And so let's go on with our agenda. After I finish here, I'm going to hand it off to Dr. Sean Healy, who is going to open with a ice-breaking exercise. And then we're going to hear from Dr. Tracy Myers talk about and give us some information about mindful listening. And then we'll have another exercise and a debrief at the end of the program. As Tracy goes through her portion of the program, she will be giving you opportunities to ask questions, and that will be an opportunity to come off of mute or to write your questions in the chat. And we will all be giving our attention to the chat so that the presenter, whether it be Tracy or Sean, who is talking, can have an opportunity to give a response to those questions. There are a couple of breakout sessions, which I believe also begins with the icebreaker. And then that last exercise will also include a breakout. So with that, Sean, I'm going to turn it over to you to help all of us get in the space and centered and prepared to receive the program for this afternoon.
Thank you, Stacey, and welcome everybody. So as Stacey mentioned, we're going to have an interactive program this evening. And so we wanted to start with a little bit of an icebreaker. This is really just a way to start to warm up with each other, get to know one other person, at least for a little bit, and start to be thinking about the topic of mindful listening. So what we're going to do in a minute or so is we're going to break out into breakout rooms in pairs, so be matched with one other person. And the exercise is just to take 5 minutes and discuss with that other person back and forth the question of topics that are easy to listen to or engage with, and also the opposite, those topics that are more challenging to listen and engage with. So just be priming your brains now and your memories about conversations you've had on different topics and those that sort of like are easy to engage with and those that, where there's some resistance or challenge. And then also a second question there is to think about whether the speaker or the situation impacts whether it's easy to engage and listen or whether that is a challenge. So at this point, we're going to, let's come off of share and we will break out into breakout rooms. Is there any questions before we break out? Again, just really quick icebreaker activity. Just get a little comfortable with each other. And then we'll jump into more meaningful material. All right. At the end of those 5 minutes, you'll be directed back to the main room and we will take it from there. So obviously, when you're in the breakout room, please unmute and interact.
Thank you for kind of candidly looking at some of these challenges, getting a little preview, because we're going to start today talking about what mindful communication is. So really being aware of some of the dynamics that impact our ability to listen and communicate. And then we're going to talk about what are some of the challenges to that, and even challenge maybe our own assumptions of how good of a listener we are. And then we'll go into some skill building around mindful listening. So mindful communication. So, you know, mindfulness is a hot topic, which, it can be applied for many different purposes. But today we're going to be talking about this engagement in the present moment and really how to apply that to listening. And most of the time, if you think about our communication, when we're listening, we are judging. We might be problem solving, judging the other person, judging ourselves. There's a quality oftentimes of trying to make sense of the world through our own lens, right? But when we start to become more aware of our judging and we can step back, we can actually get a lot more out of our communication with others, and others actually get the benefit of that. So mindful communication, this idea of being really engaged in the present moment, listening without judgment, responding with intentionality and empathy. And the idea of being aware of what might activate us, what might be activating in the other person. So self-observation, and we're going to do this in our mindful communication exercise toward the end of the presentation today. So as we engage in mindful communication, we get the benefit of more clarity, better understanding, often of the other person, sometimes ourselves. And then overall, there's a deeper connection with the other person. Even if there are lots of differences, there's this sense of basic or shared humanity, which is part of that common compassion that we're needing really to be leaders, to be in the community with other people. So most of the time, and it's really interesting as lawyers and psychologists, we're both in the business of listening, right? But the truth is, often we are not really as good of a listener as we think we are. In fact, the research says the average person can only remember 25% of what has been said. Now, there are lots of reasons, and we're going to go through some of those reasons now. So think about this already. In the short time we've been on the call for maybe 20, 25 minutes, and your mind's probably wandered multiple times, or even when you were in your breakout room, so often when we're listening to the other person, we're already thinking, oh, but I want to say that. Oh, that's a good point, but I should say that. Or we're planning on what to say, just waiting for that key interruption point. or we're thinking about a question. So lawyers do such a good job of kind of formulating questions and thinking about what's next. We're judging what the other person has said, judging what we just said. Ooh, should I have said that? I could have said that better. What is that person actually thinking of me? I feel stupid. You know, all these things detract from our ability to listen. Sometimes we're feeling defensive if someone's saying something we don't like, right? And so we're already like kind of armoring up or starting to omit things. So a lot is happening when someone else is talking, and much of that is not listening, right? So just really important to think about that, because as Daniel Goldman's comment, listening is considered an essential leadership skill. So I would add mindful listening or good listening, really, because if we're not truly listening, then it actually doesn't help us. It can have a negative impact on our interactions with others. So what are key barriers? So one is distractions. We can spend a whole webinar talking about the ways that we're distracted by technology, by our own, you know, kind of alarms going off, dogs, kids, all those things, right? But then there's this internal distraction, what we call negative self-talk, that little voice that's saying, oh, I should have said that. Oh, that sounds stupid. Oh, what am I doing? They're going to know that I really don't know what I'm doing, right? How am I a leader if I can't even do that, right? So that little blah, 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 blah in our ear. Sometimes when we're listening, we're making all sorts of assumptions about the person that could be wrong or could be right, but it's taking us away from the present moment. Implicit bias, again, we're not even aware of what's kind of our reactivity or what's happening inside of us. And then emotional reactions, right? Anxiety, fear. How hard is it to listen to somebody when you're really keyed up, when you're anxious, when you're upset? In fact, there's lots of research showing what's happening in the brain when we're activated, and listening is often the last thing we're able to do because we're just trying to regulate our emotions at that point. So it's not as easy as we may hope it is to listen mindfully, but there are some good techniques that we'll talk about as well. All right. So before we go on, any questions about that? So in terms of barriers to listening, or that key 25%. Just want to see if there's any questions or shares about that. Okay. And feel free to put it in the chat or raise your hand. All right. So why is it so good? Why is it so important to do mindful listening? One, it helps us to retain information better, right? So if we are really taking in what someone is saying, we're paying attention. So we're encoding the information, we're storing it, and then we're able to access it easier if we're really listening, right? You know, when you're distracted, it is really difficult to pull up the information that someone else said. So it helps you to retain. It gives you the opportunity to pause so that when you do speak, you're really aware of what you want to say. If you've been activated in some way, it gives you a chance to calm down that activation. And it also helps you to determine if I say this, ooh, that may not be perceived well, or it could actually create more conflict, right? So that pause gives us a chance to really check in before we speak. And then we can ask ourselves questions like, is this going to be helpful to actually say it at this point, or is it timely? It helps us to increase our attentional capacity. And so when we do our exercise toward the end today, you're going to notice how much your attention, when you know you're sort of being tasked to listen really carefully, how much attention that requires. And that's a good thing because it actually strengthens our ability to stay focused in the present moment. And the more we do that, the more we're strengthening the circuits of our brain that help us to pay attention. And then it also helps us feel more confident in interpersonal situations, because if we're listening well, we're more likely to have a positive outcome, even for difficult conversations, right? And we're going to be spending, you know, the next lesson two talking about having difficult conversations. And so if you're able to listen, if you're able to convey empathy, those hard conversations are a little easier, right? So that can help with your confidence in how to even approach difficult conversations. All right. So essentially, if we think about what mindful listening is, we're really trying to quiet down the internal noise the internal noise of our thoughts, because our thoughts are noisy. I don't know about you, but my thoughts can get really noisy at times, right? Especially if there's a self-criticism or a negative kind of flavor to your thoughts. So imagining, you can just imagine this metaphorically, sort of quieting down that little voice that may be saying negative things or distracting you, and letting yourself just take in the whole message. And you probably can think about times where when someone really gives you their undivided attention, how you feel understood, how you feel cared for in some way, how you feel more connected to the person that's actually talking and you're listening, right? So that it helps to foster an interpersonal connection with the other person. So Thich Nhat Hanh, who's a beloved Vietnamese Buddhist teacher, died a few years ago. He says, and I love this, he says, "I am listening to this person with only one purpose, to give this person a chance to suffer less." And imagining, thinking about all of our interactions we have, you know, during the day, how many people we're talking to, how many people, but this really is at core for what lawyers do, what psychologists do, what so many people in the helping professions do. We want the person to feel less distress. So mindful listening is a key component to that. All right, so we're going to invite you now to take a little quiz, okay? So I'm actually going to, let me stop sharing this. Oops, let me go back for a second. I'm going to post this in the chat. Sean, can you put this in the chat for me, the link? So this is a little, it's really short, but this is going to allow you to actually assess right here and now how good of a listener you are. Okay. And so not to make yourself feel bad, but it's helpful to kind of see where you end up in terms of your skill development. Right. And so I'm going to invite you to take a look at that quiz. And if you can't do that, I'm going to pop it on the screen as well, so you can just take a look at it. So I'm going to stop sharing for a second. Anyone has trouble doing that? So this is just a little quiz. I'll pop it up. So if anyone isn't able to see, there's 14 statements here. Shouldn't be a member only, Bernardo. I'm not sure. I'm not a member, but if not, just take a look at the, I'll scroll up these.
For people who were sort of duped like I was, you kind of have to scroll down to get the questions. If you hit the link that's right under at the top, that takes you to a longer personality quiz, which we don't have time for today.
And as you're doing it, you can just kind of get a sense of things that, you know, many of us do. These are a lot of kind of patterns that are familiar. So we'll just give you another couple minutes. And if you can always come back to this if you don't have time now. All right. So anyone brave to share what they, but not, you don't have to share your score, but just, you know, what, you know, how that experience, we'll do it this way, how the experience was. Is this, the first is this idea of healing presence, that when we really show up with intentionality and when we have the capacity to listen deeply, it can create a healing presence, because there are a lot of relational wounds that happen when we feel misunderstood, mistreated, not listened to, talked over, right? So that alone, there can be kind of a therapeutic benefit, a healing benefit of that. The second is that it allows the person to feel heard and to know that you care, right? Again, that can be healing when often people don't feel that. And finally, this idea of fully being present, not only to what's being said, but some of the nonverbal cues too, that can really help you better understand and maybe even put yourself in the other person's space or place. So mindful listening qualities, being present, right? Which we've kind of been talking about already. We've talked about ways that we're not present, but really being present. And the next slide, we'll go into some of those qualities. Cultivating empathy, which helps the other person to feel that you're really there, listening kindly. And then tuning into our inner cues. And we'll talk about why that's really helpful. So let's first start with the nonverbal. Now, why do we start with that? Well, communication is largely nonverbal. Researchers say it's about 90% nonverbal when we're communicating. We don't even always absorb that, but that's what's happening anyway, right? Whether we realize it consciously or not. So what are ways that we can help a person to feel like they're really being listened to? So eye contact, soft yet open gaze. Facial expressions are in sync with the person. You probably have all had that experience when someone is listening to you, but their face is not matching. Like you're telling a sad story and they're laughing. Like, ooh, that's pretty off-putting, right? So a facial expression that's open, soft, curious, an open posture that's grounded, relaxed, and alert, right? And so we can all probably think of postures in another person that could make us feel maybe defensive or on guard, right? Facing the client, facing the person, right? So our body language can make a big difference. Limit mannerisms. So many of us, you know, use mannerisms when we're talking. It can be helpful for nodding or, you know, using language that is, or using body language that is compassionate. But it also can be distracting if someone's really fidgeting a lot, right? It doesn't feel like maybe they're listening so well. And that effective use of silence. This is a hard one, right? Because silence can often evoke anxiety. We feel like we need to fill the space. We're wondering, wait, is something wrong? But silence can be really helpful. It can give us a mindful pause before we speak. It often helps the other person say more. I find that to be really helpful. So if you wait a beat or two or three, the person may have more to say. And if you had jumped right in, they may never have said that. Particularly if people are anxious, nervous, quiet, more introverted, right? Verbal, what's important verbally? Your prosody of your voice, which means the rhythmic pattern showing interest, right? If we talk in a very flat, monotonous voice, someone may feel like you're not listening, right? So it's helpful to when you do speak or when you're giving, you know, little vocalizations that is showing interest. Repeating, so paraphrasing and repeating and reflecting, those three. And you can do a mix of all three of those, but that really helps. So what you're saying, Sean, is that, you know, you're feeling really excited about going on your vacation, right? And then if I'm wrong about that, or if Sean's like, no, I'm actually nervous because whatever, then it gives the person a chance to clarify. So I love to do a lot of repeating, rephrasing. And sometimes I'll even say, do I have that right? That helps the person really know you care, right? Because even if you missed something, you're double checking with them and then they can clarify. Being able to remember details of a person's experience, that also helps. Remember how active listening facilitates better attention and better recall. So if you have trouble remembering details when you see a person, it may be in part because you're distracted by some of that internal dialogue. So these are just some gentle reminders, you know, and what I like to invite people to do if they're really practicing is you can't do all of these all at once because that would be very distracting. Your internal noise would even be higher, but picking one of those, which might just be, I'm going to really get good at reflecting and rephrasing, right? That may be, or you may work on the silence piece, but it can be helpful to pick one of these and see how it affects the person. And how it affects you when you're able to use that skill. So all of these, everyone, all of you have these skills, but we're kind of sort of sharpening them. So this is a really kind of interesting skill I learned from a therapy supervisor once, and I love it. And I teach this a lot to different audiences because it actually usually blows most people's minds. When we think about listening, we often think a good listener gives 100% of their focus. So I'm just going to really listen and take it in. But what we find actually is that it's important to also notice what's happening inside of you. Not getting pulled off, by the communication, but instead really noticing your internal cues. If you're feeling anxious when the other person is speaking, you might be picking up on their anxiety. If you're feeling some dislike or aversion, really helpful, because that might help you to tone it down and not respond right away. So we like this idea of doing a 60-40 practice where you're connecting to what's happening in your body and your mind, but you're also really tracking the other person. This mindful listening 60-40 can be really essential when you want to really understand not only what the other person is saying, but how it impacts you. When you know how it impacts you, you're more likely to respond skillfully. So when we do our exercise today, which we're coming up to that in a moment, we're going to invite you to do this kind of practice. And if you're not sure how to do it, it's fine. It's just this idea of taking a pause and noticing as the person's talking, how am I feeling? What's my emotional reaction? How is my body responding as I'm listening, right? So that's all. It doesn't have to be anything more than that. Just noticing, am I having any reactions? How does my body feel? Am I noticing any tension? Or do I feel delighted and happy as the person is sharing? So that's really the 60-40. But over time, we can get more and more skilled at using ourselves as a, I like to kind of think about it as an internal barometer, right? So if I'm really tracking carefully when the other person is talking, I'm getting all sorts of really helpful information that can help me be a better leader. I'm noticing what might be an area of vulnerability for the client because I'm feeling it inside of me. I'm noticing that the person feels defensive. Okay, so this is an area where it really matters to them. So I want to be really cautious in how I approach that with them. Bernardo, you said this earlier, like how you know when a conversation is going to be difficult, it makes it harder to approach that person. And sometimes we don't even realize until we're in the thick of it, right? So the 60-40 can help you also in the middle of the conversation recognize, oh, okay, you know, we may need to slow it down. We may need to take this in a different direction. So just play around with this when we do our exercise today. All right. So I want to just pause again here and see if there are any questions or comments before we go on to our exercise.
The BBA is Boston's largest legal network built on justice, community, education, and inclusion. Take advantage of our exclusive Express membership offer and save 50% off BBA membership through August 31st, 2024. Enjoy the full benefits of BBA membership and take advantage of BBA programs and events, discounts on services, access to the full Learn Online library, and much more. This special offer is only available through March 15, 2024. Use code EXPRESS50 at checkout.